Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 10. We'll read this passage responsively. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you have met with us so many times. May we not take that for granted. Yet, we stand in need of you needing to meet needs again today. We're a sinful people, a needy people. Lord, there's over 1,000 people here today. There's no way one person could meet all those needs. But you could, through your man, speak through him and meet those needs. I pray that you do that. Be with our preacher, fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
If you feel like you're in bondage today, I think I can encourage you. If you say, seemingly, there is no answer to my situation, then I think, again, I can help you. Do you feel captive to a burden? Do you feel captive to a heartache? Then I think I can help you. If you'll listen to today's sermon, you'll be encouraged. If you want to be encouraged. Now, if you don't want to be encouraged, then you can reject the truth and then choose not to receive the encouragement that it offers. That'll be up to you. The sermon's title today is this: The Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9, Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And these words are spoken right before he is martyred. In other words, see, this man by the name of Paul, he is about to die for the cause of Jesus Christ. And these words were written right before that death. He says he himself is suffering and he is bound, but he is not without comfort. You see, often the Apostle Paul would go into a town and they would arrest him. They arrested him for his stand for Christ. There were religious people that were not truly interested in what the Bible had to say or what God had to say. They would stir the people up, and Paul, in preaching of Jesus Christ, would end up in trouble with the officials and they would throw him in jail. And Paul says here, he said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. People seeing him as an evildoer, and they would put him in prison. And they would jail him, if you will. And he is describing, I want you to think about it now, Paul, it may be at this moment when Paul is writing this passage of Scripture, he's probably shackled at the moment. He wrote what he called his prison epistles, meaning there were times when he was actually behind bars for the cause of Christ, and God is leading him in the penning of the Word of God. I don't know. It may be at this very moment when Paul is writing what we are reading, it may be that his legs were shackled. It may be that he was roped. Maybe he was tied down. Maybe he was actually behind bars. Maybe once a day they would come and they'd slide a plate of food underneath the bars, and he would go over and eat a piece of bread and drink a little bit of water because he was bound. He was shackled. He was in prison. He was burdened. He was burdened physically. He was burdened emotionally, I'm sure. And he, if you'll picture it properly, he says, I'm in bonds. I'm captive. Then he says, but, the Word of God is not bound. Oh my. You see, his great joy was that the Word of God was not bound. He's lying there, very possibly in jail, unable to move, but he encourages himself with this thought. He said, I may be bound, I may be shackled, I may be tied down, I may be in jail, but you can't do that to the Word of God. You may be able to stop me, but he encouraged himself and said, you may be able to stop me, but you can't stop the Word of God. That's almost the Apostle Paul sticking his tongue out at the devil and saying, devil, you may beat me up. Devil, you may slow me down. Devil, you may make me captive, but you can't do that to my God. You can't do that to my God's book. You can't stop the Word of God. You may slow me down, but you're not going to stop the Word of God. The Word of God is not bound. What does it mean? It's not restrained. The Word of God is not handcuffed. The Word of God is not imprisoned. The Word of God cannot be contained. The Word of God is not restricted. The Word of God is not incarcerated. The Word of God cannot be limited. The Word of God can't be locked down. The Word of God cannot be taken captive, cannot be shackled. The Word of God cannot have its hands tied. The Word of God is not fettered. You see, Paul said, I'm a little discouraged, maybe. You may have me locked down, but he encouraged himself by saying, but you can't lock down, you can't bind the Word of God. He said, the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God will not be stopped. You can ignore it, but you cannot stop it. You can reject it, but you cannot stop it. You can run from it, but you cannot stop it. The great preacher, Baptist preacher of many, many years ago over in England, his name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He tells a story. He said when the daughter of the mayor of Bain had lost her canary, her parents immediately said, lock the city down. Lock all the doors. Lock the gate. Lock the city down. My daughter's canary has escaped its cage. Well, let's face it, we all know that did not stop that canary. Because that canary could fly higher than the binding of that city. The bird was soon over the hills and far away, despite the locking of the gates. And let me tell you something. When a truth is once known, no human power can prevent the spreading of God's truth. Attempts to hinder the progress of that truth, those attempts will be soiled. Hey, as a bird of the air, truth flies abroad on swift wings. Hey, as a ray of light, it enters palaces and homes as an unfettered wind. Hey, the laws of locks and padlocks do not pertain to the Word of God. Walls cannot confine, nor iron bars imprison this Word of God. It's free. Let's let everybody here be on the side of God and God's Word. And never let us allow doubt of God's success to darken our soul. I say to you, the Word of God, it's not bound. That's the title of my sermon today. The Word of God, it is not bound. First of all, I say to you, the Word of God is not bound so that it cannot be made known. The preachers who preach it may be in prison, but not the Word of God. The Apostle Paul was put in prison, but you couldn't imprison the Word of God. A man by the name of John Bunyan was placed in prison, but they could not put the Word of God in prison. They couldn't stop it. You can use the most powerful steel in the world, and that steel used for bars will not make the Word of God captive. Daniel was thrown in a lion's den. Daniel was thrown into a prison, if you will, but it didn't stop the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is not bound. So that it can not be made known? No. Hey, the book which contains the Word of God may be burned, but the truth cannot be burned by fire. You say, well, I'll just take that Bible and I'll burn it. You can burn it all you want, but you'll never burn the truth of that book. You can't stop the truth of that book. You can't do it. Hey, the book which contains its words may be burned, but you can't burn the truth. Hey, its ink may run from being tossed into a river of doubt, but the truth will swim on. Its doctrines may become almost dead due to liberal, cowardly preachers, and yet they will be resurrected over and over and over again. Its standards of holy living and separation may be rejected by you and may be rejected by others, but they will always be expected by God. Just because you reject what the book says does not mean that God lets you free of it. No, God expects it whether you reject it, and God said, my word will not be bound. Hey, deafness in the ears can't stop the truth from entering the mind. We have our deaf ministry, and right now, someone is interpreting for them. Hey, the devil might have thought, these people cannot hear with their ears, so we will stop them from receiving the Word of God. Hey, sorry, devil, can't do it. Just because there's deafness in the ears does not mean the Word of God is bound. Oh no, they'll get the truth today. You see, the Word of God is not bound, so it cannot be made known. Secondly, the Word of God is not bound so that it cannot reach the heart. It will not be hindered of its divine purpose. You see, it's the Word of God. The Word of God has its way of making its course into your heart. It will not be bound by one's powerful stubbornness. Listen, I've seen some of the most stubborn of the stubborn be broken down when the Word of God touched their heart. I've seen it happen time and time again. The Holy Spirit can reach the conscience that seems to be calloused and seared. Hey, a seared conscience can be softened. How? By the Word of God. Why? It can't be bound. It can't be bound. You can't stop it. The Word of God is unstoppable. It will go on. Even the scoffer and the skeptic and the critic can be convinced and changed, softened, and turned around. Why? Because the Word of God is so powerful. It's so powerful. God's Word can warm the frozen heart of the cold disbeliever. Hey, a wounded heart that is battered and bruised can still be reached by its healing power. Hearts of hurt and bitterness can be helped by its unbound ability. I say to you, number one, the Word of God is not bound so that it cannot be made known. Oh no, it'll be made known. I say to you, secondly, the Word of God is not bound so it cannot reach the heart. I say to you, the Word of God can reach the sin-sick heart of any individual. I say to you, thirdly, the Word of God is not bound so that it cannot be fulfilled. Fulfilled. You see, His Word is going to carry out His promises to you and I as individuals, to nations, to the Christian family. His Word will carry out the promises of God. So the Word of God is not bound, so it cannot be fulfilled. But just so you know, if that old black book tells you something, get ready, it's going to happen. Get ready, it's going to happen. You say, oh, that thing's full of fairy tales. Hey, I got news for you. Everything that God ever said would happen has happened. Everything that God says is going to happen, it's going to happen. You better write her down and stick her in your shoe, because it's going to happen. If you're a gambling man, I'd be betting on Jesus. Hey, if you're a gambler, man, you say, well, I'd like to know how the numbers all fall in order. Well, you better find out what the numbers of this book tells you, because there's coming a day when whatever God said, it's going to happen. Always has. Always will. His Word will carry out its promises. The Word of God is not bound. The Lord said to us, He promised us, to the individual, to me and to you, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Which means this, once God saved you, He saved you once and forever. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. His Word's not bound. If He said it, you can believe it. He said, my peace I give unto thee. He said, I have forgiven you. Listen, if you got saved, the Bible teaches that God has forgiven you of your sin. Hey, you can go to the bank on that. Why? God's Word is not bound. God's Word is not bound. Hey, you say, when the Lord says, my love never faileth, then I promise you, God loves you. I promise you, God loves you. God said He loves you, that means God loves you. You say, but for those I don't see how. You don't have to see how. You just have to believe. The Word of God is not bound. God said it. You ought to believe it. It's right there. You see, God's Word is not bound. His Word is not bound in regard to His promises to me and to you as individuals. Hey, when He told us this. He said, if we would go out and tell others about Jesus Christ, we call it soul winning. We'd go out and tell others about Jesus Christ and win them to Jesus, the Bible teaches that we are going to be rewarded for it. Look right this way. Girls, stop playing and look up this way. Put your pen away and stop playing. If God promises us a reward for telling others about Jesus Christ, then we're going to get that reward. Why? Whatever God promises is going to come to pass. Why? The Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. It's not bound that it can't affect men. It can get into their hearts. It's going to be made known. His promises to us are going to be kept. His Word will be performed. Let me tell you this. Just like God promises some things to the Christian, He promises us reward in our soul winning. He promises us peace. He promises us forgiveness. He promises us once He saves us, we're saved forever. But wait, for those that do wrong. So you know, the rebellious, God's made you some promises. He's going to keep them. He's going to keep them. The Bible teaches that evil behavior will bring the wrath of God upon you. Evil behavior is when people join together to launch out and hurt somebody else. That's criticism and the gossip session. That's evil. That's evil when we begin to affect people like that. Now, God said the wrath of God will abide on people that do evil. Hey, that's a promise of God. You say, so, you really think He's going to do it? Well, the Word of God's not bound. The Word of God's not bound. Not at all. The Bible teaches this. It says, touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophets any harm. But God said, you should not mess with the men of God. And if you do, God said, my wrath may abide upon you. And so you say, why do you say that? I say that because God's Word's not bound. God's Word is not bound. Let me warn you. You steal a tithe, your finances go sour. God said, you give what you're commanded to give, I will bless you. If you don't give what you're commanded to give, I won't bless you. Matter of fact, I will not reject or restrain the devourer. So, God promised that. And the Word of God will not be bound. It will not be bound. There is a hell for Christ rejectors. That's what the Bible says. You say, I don't believe in hell. You will. Because the Word of God is not bound based on your disbelief. God's not going to change everything that He's believed in all universe because you're too dumb to believe Him. God's not sitting there looking at your brain saying, everything you think is what I'm going to do. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You see, the Word of God, it's not bound. Whatever God said, it will be fulfilled. If it is His promise to me and you as Christians that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, or that He has forgiven us, or that He saved us once and forever, and that His love never fails, and if we win souls to Christ, we'll be rewarded. All of it's going to come to pass. If it is that we are rebellious toward God, and we are practicing evil behavior, or if it is that we try to hurt God's man, or stolen God's money, or somehow we don't think we'll go to hell if we reject God, hey, God's promises will come true. God's Word is not bound. His Word will achieve the prophecies or the predictions for the future. For instance, the Bible promises us if we will serve Him, once you get saved, you ought to serve Him. After you begin to serve Him, then God will give you rewards in heaven. The Bible talks about crowns and rewards that you will receive. Now, if God said it, you better believe it. Why? The Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is true. That's going to come to pass. You see, the Word of God is not bound in regard to the prophecies of the future. The Bible teaches what you sow, you're going to reap. That's a prophecy of the future. Well, you better believe then what you sow, you're going to reap. The Bible teaches that Jesus is coming again. The Bible teaches the next thing on God's calendar of events is that one of these days Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. He is going to, you're going to hear the trump of God. There's coming a day when Jesus is coming. Everybody that's born again will hear that trump of God. The Spirit of God within them will respond and will go up in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You say you really believe that? I believe the Word of God is not bound. I believe the Word of God is not bound. I believe that if God said it, you better believe it. I believe that if God has prophesied something is going to take place someday in the future, it's going to take place. The prophecy of God is true. The Bible teaches there's coming 7 years of tribulation. There'll be a little over 3 years of peace, and then there'll be 3.5 years of destruction and turmoil on this earth. God said it. You better believe it. And God's Word is not bound. You say, well, what all will have to happen in history for that to take place? There's nothing holding it back at all now. Nothing at all. You say, well, wonder if some of the countries take different courses. Hey, countries don't determine what God's going to do. God determines what God's going to do. The Word of God is not bound. Hey, His promise of heaven for the saved It's coming. It's coming. God's promise regarding heaven is coming. We have many saints of God that have already passed on. And they're already on the other side. And they've already seen the fulfillment of God's promise. Hey, when they closed their eyes in death and then opened their eyes in heaven, they said, it's true. And really what they were saying is, God's word is not bound. God's word is not bound. And you remember, it was the Apostle Paul that put those words in the Bible. He was a captive. He was shackled. He was roped down. He was in prison. And he said, I'm here and things don't look real good. It seems like I'm kind of burdened down and I'm captive. He said, but I'll tell you one thing that encourages my heart. God's word is not in prison. If God's word is not in prison, I have the freedom and the availability of a word of God and a God that cannot be bound. He cannot be bound. He promises heaven, it's going to come to pass. There's coming a day. I may not be able to make all your pain go away. I look around this auditorium and I'm going to be very honest with you. I could preach on the burdens and the heartaches of life every service. I could do it. I could preach on the burdens and the heartaches and the attack of Satan and how the devil would like to just destroy us. I could preach on it every service. There's so much heartache. There is so much pain. I of course I can't do that. I've got to preach the whole counsel of God. But let me tell you something. I will make you a promise today. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. There's coming a day, folks, we're going to get out of this mess. There's coming a day when we won't have the heartaches and the pains and the struggle. There's coming a day when you, those of you that can't walk, you'll walk and run faster than anybody. There's coming a day, those that you suffer with the terrible headaches of life and the physical headaches, God will heal that and you'll think clearly. There's coming a day that disease that wraps your body, that pain that is deep down in you that nobody knows about, you'll not suffer that pain anymore. You say, Brother Owens, I'm scarred. I'm scarred emotionally and spiritually in life. The things that have happened to me, I carry a burden because of past pains and injuries. And Brother Owens, it hurts enough. And I'm not talking about physically now. I'm talking about all the hurts of life in relationships and the betrayal. Trails and all the things that happen. I may not be able to make that go away today, but one thing I can tell you, the Word of God promises there's coming a day where that'll all pass away and we'll get to heaven, and the Word of God cannot be bound. I don't know what to do about all your heartaches, but one thing I can promise you, I serve a God that wrote a book, and every word of the book is true, every word of the book is free, every word of the book still working. Hey, this book, this Bible's not just for the old time people. This Bible's not just for the ones that were, you know, were in America 200 years ago. No, it's for me and you. It's for today. The Word of God, it cannot be bound. It'll be fulfilled. Let me say to you fourthly, the Word of God is not bound so that it cannot prevail over error. It's not bound. It will prevail over error. Atheism. Infidelity. Ritualism in churches. Help me now, ushers. Popery. Humanism shall not bind the gospel so it can't get out. Not at all. Not at all. The gospel must and will accomplish the purpose for which it was created. It will. It will. There is a lot of, and you'll have to forgive me if you're new to this, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of trash done in the name of religion today that is just that. It has a form of godliness, but denieth the power thereof. And we all look at it and we say, look at all that that's done in the name of religion. You got all these preachers out there about half clock trying to make money off of everybody, and their whole purpose is not what God's purpose was. And we look at it and it changed things, and churches that are more in, hey, they're more interested in how beautiful their building is than it is the beauty of the people. Hey, this is not all about these buildings around here. It's all about people. And somehow we get this tainted religion, and we do so many things in the name of God. Well, you can go out to Hollywood, and you want to go the country music route, you can get up there and tell everybody you love God, and God's everything to you, but you can go to a nightclub and sing and drink and dance all night long, the night before, and we do it all in the name of God. I've got news for you. That's not so. That's not how we ought to be living. That is not what God had in mind. You say, that disgusts me that they do that in the name of religion. Well, let me promise you something. The Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. It will prevail over error. It can overcome the false teaching of works salvation. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You will not get to heaven by your good works. That's what the Bible says. And God's Word is powerful enough that it will not be bound by that. It cannot overcome. Hey, the Word of God can overcome the era of liberal Christianity. The Word of God can overcome the error of the teaching that you can lose your salvation. Once you've got it, it's yours. God's not an Indian giver. It can overcome the error of the modernism in the old time churches. It can overcome the influence of casual Christianity. It can overcome the influence of all the false Bibles, which, by the way, they are bound. It is the Word of God that's not bound. And you see, my friend, I say to you, my goodness, folks, let's all get up and walk out of the service if we could. Let's stay calm. If you have an emergency and you need to go, that must be number 20. I've been counting. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just mad at the devil because I know what he's doing. Do you know what? Word of God will do its job anyway. It'll do its job anyway. The Word of God is not bound. You see, the Word of God is not bound so that it cannot be understood or made known. The Word of God is not bound so it cannot reach the hearts of men. The Word of God is not bound so that it will not be fulfilled. The Word of God is not bound so it could not prevail over error. The Word of God, it cannot be bound. You say, why? Because it's the Word of God. See, it's not the word of man. It's not the word of religion. It is not the word of a denomination. It is not the word or the voice of make-believe. Oh no, it's all worth believing. The Word of God is not bound because it is the Word of God. The Word of God is not bound because it is aided by the energetic work of the Holy Spirit of God. Now you've got double power in there. You've got the Word of God and you've got the power of God's Holy Spirit. Man must have it. Man must have the Word of God. As men must have food, and you cannot keep it from them, so they must have the truth. You may not believe this, but truth is more important to you than air. Oh, the Word of God, man needs it. It cannot be bound because God said it can't be bound. It creates so much enthusiasm in the hearts of those that believe it. They must spread it and they must tell it. People take their lives into their own hands to tell others about the Word of God. Men have been willing to die for the freedom that this Bible talks about. There's a painting of Tyndale, an old-time man of years gone by. It's still preserved in the country of England. Right beside Tyndale, there is a picture of a burning book. It was supposed to be the Bible. They had tied a book to a stake, and they were burning that book at the stake. And then in this picture, there are other little books that are jumping out of the fire and they're flying away. It's an old-time historical picture that somebody painted to say, you may try to take the paper book called the Bible, you may try to burn it at the stake, and you may burn the paper on which it is printed, but that you will not burn the truth that's in that book. And that's what those books were, jumping out of the Bible and flying away. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. It cannot be bound because of its power is unlimited. It has all the power it needs. God's Word's never been limited. Hey, I remember one time I was with some folks is back in Indiana. We had a trailer, a pull behind trailer, and we loaded that thing down with firewood. And I mean, we had loaded that thing down with firewood so that when you throw something on top, about six pieces fall off. You ever filled one up like that? We had filled that thing down, and somebody had them one of those little smaller pickup truck. I'm not talking about a full size. I'm talking about one of those small ones. They had one, brought it over, hooked it up to that trailer, and said, I'll pull it. He should have heard that thing. He put it in first gear and went, Mm-hmm. Every time he'd start it, he'd pull it about a half a step, and there was just too much weight on there. And then we had this old boy, he said, let me get my truck. He went out, and they had dualies on the back end of it. It's a great big old diesel truck. He started that thing up, and it went, Mm-hmm. You know how a diesel sounds like something that's really congested bad? He pulled that thing up there, hooked it up, and boy, he took right off. That little old truck was sitting off to the side. It couldn't handle it. Let me tell you something. God is like the biggest diesel that you've ever met in your life. And that little old truck couldn't handle the weight of what was going on, but God's Word can handle anything. God's Word is not restrained by the pressure or the power of anything. It is the most powerful thing in the universe. Hey, as a binding of Paul, the binding of Paul, for instance, was not the binding of the Word of God. You know what Paul was saying? He said, you may bind me, but you can't bind the Word of God. Did you know something? Did you know you can get rid of the preachers of the truth? But you can't get rid of the truth of the preachers. I could take you across America to churches where the people in the pew liberalized and they wouldn't do what the preacher told them. They got sour. The preacher stood for the Word of God. He stood for the old time way. People in the pew rejected what the preacher was saying. They got it to the point where they wanted to get rid of the preacher. Why can't you? Can I tell you something? You may get rid of a preacher, but you will not get rid of what that preacher preaches. Every once in a while, I'll come by your church and I'll still preach like your old preacher preached, and I'll haunt you, baby. Man, we got rid of him. He was one of them old-time fundamentals. Well, every once in a while, you're going to come in contact with somebody, but you may get rid of the preacher, but you can't get rid of the truth that he preaches. Cain killed Abel, but I'll tell you something. It did not change the fact that Abel was teaching salvation by grace through faith through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's still alive and well. It may be that old Moses ended up dying. Hey, but the Red Sea deliverance went down in history. It may be that David died, but the Psalms are strong and alive and well today. The death of the preacher does not mean the death of the truth. It may be that John the Beloved died, but John 3:16 is going all the way around the world. The Apostle Paul may be dead today, but the doctrines of the Bible are as pure as ever. It may be you take the great man of in America. His name was Dr. J. Frank Norris. Dr. J. Frank Norris was known for preaching on separation from the world and coming out of the worldly lifestyle. J. Frank Norris might be dead, but separation in the Bible's not dead. Dr. John R. Rice preached on the subject of prayer. Hey, Dr. John may be dead, but prayer's not dead. Lester Roloff lifted the fallen. Lester Roloff may have died, but we're still lifting the fallen for the cause of Jesus Christ. Lee Robertson preached about having faith in God. And Lee Robertson may be in heaven today, but faith in God is still alive and well. Dr. Jack Hiles preached of soul winning and keeping people out of hell. He may be dead, but I got to tell you something. Soul winning's still in the Bible. Soul winning's not dead. Soul winning's not been buried. Soul winning's still alive. And you know something? You may run me off. You may kick me. You may bury me someday, but I'm going to tell you something. The truth that I have preached from the old black book will live on. It'll live on. It'll happen. Hey, the weakness of the workers of God, that might bind things a little bit. You young people in the back row back here, pay attention up here. I tried to give you a signal earlier that you pay attention, but you're back there playing. Man. Hurting my teeth this morning. See, what happens is when you're preaching along, everything under the sun tries to distract everybody. Primarily me. Since we have a break. The binding of Paul did not bind the Word of God. The weakness of God's workers does not bring a weakness to the Word of God. God's servants are limited, but God's Word is not. God's servants are tired, but God's Word is not tired. Hey, God's servants are inconsistent, but God's Word is not. God's servants are unpredictable, but God's Word is not. Hey, God's servants are sinful, but God's Word is not. God's servants are unpredictable and undependable, but God's Word is not. God's servants are frail, but God's Word is not. God's servants are weak, but God's Word is not. The bondage of a preacher's mind is not the bondage of the Word of God. A preacher's mind may be weak, but the Word of God is strong. God can take a stupid country boy named Jeff Owens, who really doesn't know anything much about anything, but as long as Jeff Owens sticks close to the Word of God, Jeff Owens looks far better than what Jeff Owens actually is. You see, the Word of God cannot be bound. The Word of God will not be bound. Choir, if you'll look right at me while I preach. So you all know what happens is I can tell when they're looking at you because all I do is examine them. Come on, preach it. The binding of the preacher is not the binding of the word of the preacher. A preacher's mind may be distracted, but the word of God can stay focused. A preacher's mind may be vague, but the words of God are exact. A preacher's mind may be weighed down by burden, but yet God's word is never weighed down. The coldness of men is not the coldness of the Word of God. Men may stop loving, but God will never stop loving. Men may stop caring, but God will never stop caring. Men may ignore you, but God will never ignore you. Men may not forgive you, but God will always forgive you. I thank God, no matter what's happening in my life, people may let me down. We may let each other down. But I'm telling you today, God's Word won't let you down. It cannot be bound. It can't be stopped. It'll get to your mind. It'll get to your heart. It'll get to your life. It just won't be stopped. You see, falsehoods and hypocrisies, they won't stop the Word of God. Man may say one thing and do another. God's Word always does what it says. Men may teach one thing and then do another. God's Word always does what it teaches. Man may teach faith and practice doubt. God's Word teaches faith faithfully. God's Word contains no hypocrisy. Hey, did you know the rejection of this Word by unbelievers will not overthrow this Word? Your rejection of a belief in heaven does not change the golden streets for me or anybody else. Your denial of a burning hell won't quench the flames for you or anybody else. Your disbelief in God's command to live holy does not release you from the suffering and having the consequences of that disbelief. When humans are rejected, we often become cowardly and run. God does not fear your rejection. He stands steady and firm. He said, I will not be bound. I'll not be bound by fear. God's not bound by fear. I will not be bound by doubt. I have no doubt. God said, my word will not be bound. Rejoice that the word of the Lord can't be stopped. Arouse yourself to work for Him with confidence. Because of you? No, because of the word of God. Accept its power and go do something great for God. There's a cemetery in Westminster Abbey. There's a memorial there for the Wesley brothers who were great men in history. And at that memorial, these words are found. God buries His workmen, but carries on His work. God buries His workmen, but carries on His work. You say, you know, I don't know if one single person is leaving our church. Not one. Not one. You know, you're talking about throwing you out. Nobody's trying to throw me out of here. We've got a unified church. We're doing great. But let me say, did you know something? You say, well, I'll just leave this church. Just so you know, it'll go on without you. Don't want it to. I'll just pack up my nuts and I'll leave. You know what? When that happens, you know what will happen? Someone will take your spot in the pew and be happy they got it. But I wouldn't want you to go anywhere. And again, I don't know if one single person is leaving our church, not one. There's well over 1,000 people on this property this morning. I don't know of anybody that wants to leave our church, not any. But you say, well, I'll just leave. Did you know God's word won't be bound? Your leaving will not cripple this church. It won't. We'll go on. If you're withholding your money from God, you say, I'm kidding. You're so dumb. You're just hurting you. God's word will not be bound. You and I are not going to stop Him. Your rejection of Him, then you're going to go on. Hey, you know, if this church soured and decided that we weren't going to stick with the old-time ways, can I tell you something? Then God will raise up another church. Does it all the time.
Yes, sir.
Does it all the time. If one church leaves the old-fashioned way, then God raises up another church to keep the old-fashioned way alive. God doesn't have to have me. God doesn't have to have you. God doesn't have to have the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. God has God's Word. And as long as we as a church will stick with the old-time Word, and as long as me and you as Christians will stick with the Word, we get to go along for the journey. We get to go along for the ride. God's Word cannot be bound. Can't be stopped. Hey, the Word of God can't be bound to keep one from getting saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 2, it says, For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time for your salvation. Today's your day. Satan wants you to keep from being saved. I told you earlier, this sermon would be good for you if you'll let it. Satan wants to keep you on your way to hell. God wants to save you. Decisions, yours. The Word of God will save you no matter how big of a mess you're in. But it's up to you. You would say, what? It's up to me? Yeah, really, the only thing that binds God's Word is whether you'll let it do its work or not. Will you let God save you? If not, you have bound it in your own heart. God won't make you get saved. You have to choose it. Satan's been working overtime to keep people lost. But I really believe this. Did you know that everybody that came onto this property today and they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Satan has worked every day of their life to keep them from hearing the gospel. Every day of their life, Satan has tried to make it so that they would not get saved. But I'll tell you, I really believe at least one person somewhere on this property today will receive Jesus Christ and we'll see that God's Word was not bound in their life. They'll trust Christ. Every person that walks the aisle today trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, Satan will say, I lost that one. And God said, there it proves my Word can do it. My Word can overpower Satan if you just let it. You can be saved. Paul said, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the Word of God is not bound. What's it mean? This book that God gave us is a powerful book. It's a powerful book. It's a book of overcoming. It's a book of victory. It's a book that is a supernatural book. And you and I, you say, Brother Owens, I'm down. I feel like I'm outnumbered. I have my doubts. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I don't know that Paul was in an identical situation, but I can tell you this. Paul said, I'm bound. I'm imprisoned. He said, I'll tell you how I encourage myself. I said, I may be bound, but the Word of God's not. You're going to have to figure out who you've got your faith in, you or the Word of God. Paul said, I was able to encourage myself because I didn't put my faith in me. I put my faith in the Word of God. When I realized the Word of God can't be bound, I felt like a free man inside prison. You may stop my body, but you can't stop the God inside my body. You can't. You may slow my spirit down, but you won't slow my Holy Spirit down. Because the Word of God is not bound. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.